I'd like to speed the story backward just a little bit from the scripture that was read. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 1. I wish it would have said evening or at nighttime, because morning is often equated with joy and happiness. There's certainly nothing joyful and happy about Jesus' trial, his crucifixion, the death, the burial. But here it says in Matthew 27, 1, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. Now, you have a good understanding of who this Jesus is. A group of men with mortality devising a plan to kill God. Christianity is the only religion that teaches that their God died. They bound Jesus, verse 2. They lead him away. They take him down to Pontius Pilate. And you'll have to read that part of the story in the book of Matthew. But finally, he ends up in verse 27, condemned to die. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, bringing everybody. They stripped him, they put on him the scarlet robe. Verse 29. Then they make a crown of thorns. They put that upon his head. They place this stick or this reed in his hand. And they bowed the knee before him, Lewis, and they said, "Ha! You are the King of the Jews." They spit on him. They took the stick or the reed, and they hit him on the head. They took the robe back off him. They put his own clothing back on him. They led him away to crucify him. And it worked. Jesus hangs on the cross, cries out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" A short time later, he utters the words, "It is finished." And Jesus dies. Are you aware that you have more information about the death of Christ than any generation? Especially the generation that was living with Jesus. The disciples who were chosen, who spent time daily with him, even Jesus' own family, did not have as much information about what would happen and what did happen as you have. You have this treasure in your mind to take out, to look at, to ask God for wisdom, and to share. Have you ever thought of Jesus as being tired? He was just a young man in his early 30s, about 33. Is there anyone here today who is 33 years of age? Don't raise your hand, Don. I know better. Tracy. 33. Golden year, full of energy and hope. Let me read something to you I actually wrote this several years ago, and I don't know who I was reading at the time. I didn't make a note of it. Probably follows the chronology in the book Desire of Ages, because I love that book. Joseph and Nicodemus take Jesus down from the cross. Place him in the tomb. At last, Jesus is at rest. He has said, "I have finished the work which you gave me to do." The day has not ended like his mother wanted it to end, or even his friend John. The day has ended not with a miraculous rescue of Christ from the cross, but with Jesus being stabbed in the side, sweat and blood mingled together still on his forehead. But at last now, Jesus is at rest. The long day of shame and torture and pain is ending. The soft glow of the setting sun ushers in the quietude of the Sabbath. Jesus lays in the tomb, his hands folded, his feet still. He is at rest. For his friends, though, for the disciples, there wasn't much inner peace and inner joy. They met quietly among themselves, trying to figure out what has happened. We thought Christ would be setting up this kingdom, and you would be next in line on the left, and I could be next in line on the right. But something changed. So they tried to cope with what had happened the best they could. And those people who said Jesus was a pretender, oh yes, they were present somewhere. "We told you so. He wouldn't be the Redeemer. He would never allow himself to die if he's the one to rescue Jerusalem and establish a new kingdom." But something was really happening they couldn't see. Unseen to human eyes and unheard to the human ear, joy of heaven. You see, the angelic choir didn't fully understand it either, but they had been commissioned earlier. Over 30 years earlier, they had been commissioned to declare, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And now at last that saving part was being put into action here on the cross. The angelic host, there was the promise of a future for humanity. They, like Christ, could see forward in time. They could see a restored creation. They could see Eden restored. Without a doubt, they believed it, knowing in whom they believed, because he had declared it, it would happen. A restored creation, with nature put back in proper cycle. A redeemed race without prejudice, without suffering. Seeing that salvation would work its course, there would be a people who could be declared righteous, who could learn to hate sin. There would be a people who would have faith. But what is Jesus' part? They've wrapped Jesus in linen cloths. placed him sort of hurriedly in the tomb. He's resting. Someday I want to explain to you the scripture about Jesus going to hell and preaching to the spirits that were in prison. There are some who place that right here. But that's really taking some liberty with the scripture. Jesus was resting. That's what he did. There was Judas. There were the scribes and Pharisees. There were those responsible for his death. But they were not at rest at all. They were deeply troubled. For some unexplainable reason, there was not this sense of joy they had expected to have. At last, their dreams had come true. They've been able to destroy this man who claims to be establishing a kingdom. Why they couldn't understand his words, "My kingdom is not of this world," is difficult for me to understand. But they had thought and imagined, if we can only destroy Jesus, if we can kill him some way, then that movement will stop. Yes, for some unexplainable reason, there was not the joy and the sense of victory they had expected. Like today, sometimes some of us choose sin. And we think that the experience of sin, we think that the breaking of God's law will bring happiness. For some reason, it never comes. But for those people, this moment would never come again. For those people who hated Jesus and the truth so much that they would destroy him, that they would push him away, literally. This was their moment. This was their hour of triumph. But they couldn't enjoy it. They were stabbed with doubts and questionings. What will happen next? Some of them had been there. They had heard the trumpet-like voice of Jesus. At least that's the way Revelation describes it. I would suppose it was somewhat weakened, though, when Jesus said, "It is finished," just before he died. They had looked into the face of this dying man as he cried, like other martyrs, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And as if to proclaim there is a God in heaven, they had felt the very ground underneath them shaking. They had seen the rocks bursting apart as if by some supernatural power. They had also heard the testimony of the Roman centurion when he declared with a loud voice, "Truly this was the Son of God. We have killed him." Oh, but Jesus is resting. He had given and given so much. The scripture was literally fulfilled when he says, "I lay down my life." You follow his ministry, and it was so giving that he would run out of that to give. To be rejuvenated, to be re-energized, not to be pepped up, but to receive so he could give again. He would pray all night long. He would talk to God all day. His heart ached for the poverty, for the suffering. And he knew he had the ability to make things right. And everywhere he went, he would make things right with people. But he gave so much. Sometimes he just longed for a place of quiet rest. Now he is resting. I would like to find the testimony in Scripture of somebody. I would like to find the scriptural evidence of somebody in Scripture to whom it is written that at this time they know who they believe. The disciples could have come close. Some of his family members should have been even closer. But we have not one record of an individual who at this particular time was saying, "This is it. Don't be down. Don't be hopeless. This is what was prophesied. Have hope." But at last, whatever is going to happen at that time has happened. No one has been able to hush it or to stop it. There's an interesting text of Scripture, and you should read it. It says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, I know what you believe about the appointment to die. God does not allow our lives to be snuffed out and stolen away by Satan, although he would like to. There are times when God says, it is finished. And isn't that okay? What's not okay is for God's people to question and to doubt and to be hopeless. Our world is just as real as it was in Jesus' day. The innocent still suffer. It appears that injustice will triumph over justice. It appears that the world will get worse and worse. It seems like there is nowhere to go. All but for the Christian. He should know who he believes in. We sort of fought the disciples back here. Because Jesus opened to them the prophetic truth, and his mind and his teaching skills were so excellent. He tells them, "Look, I'm going to Jerusalem. This temple's going to be destroyed. But in 3 days, I'm going to bring it up." They heard the words, but they did not really hear the meaning. Now Jesus is resting. Let's review. Those disciples are huddled together talking. What has happened? Where is the kingdom of God? The evil men who plotted against him are not at rest. Judas goes into the judgment hall. You can read the story. And with a wailing, moanful voice, clutching the pieces of silver in his hands, he says to those men, we shouldn't have done this. And he slams the coins down on the floor. You could have heard a pin drop. then he goes out and kills himself. Oh. The angelic choir, though, they're not feeling hopeless. They don't understand it all. But at least some of those in that choir were part of that other group that was commissioned, and we studied about this in December. They were given the assignment, go to the earth, go to the shepherds, and tell them that this day a Savior is born. Well, here's the truth. This is the man. He is either the Savior or he is an imposter. Be their next assignment. But now Jesus is at rest. Those who denied him, those who persecuted him, have no peace. That's the way it is when the natural heart is so stubborn. Here was this group of talented, trained, educated people in the very presence of God, and they failed to see their own condition. Jesus is at rest. Joseph and Nicodemus have taken him down from the cross. That must have been a unique meeting when Joseph went in and negotiated for the body of Christ. I wonder where you could receive that kind of training. Let me have it. Let me take the body of Christ down. Don't make the soldiers do it. Won't be unhappy if you let us do it for you. There's Jesus in the tomb. I was reading last night where Joseph rolled a big stone in front of him. My little mind always originates questions. Well, if it was a big stone, how did he do it by himself? Everybody goes home, and Jesus is at rest. Their faith tested. Is this really who we believed? I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't the angel Gabriel that came. Some others came with him. The soldiers saw the brightness. It appeared to them as punishing as light. They fell back as dead men. And the stone was rolled away. By some transference of power, those of you who understand mathematics and genius, explain this one to me. God had given the commission, go get him. God the Father said, the angel stood there at the entrance to that tomb, probably. And if you go there, you can look inside from the doorway. You can see where he would have laid. And words filled with electrifying power of some sort, words of creative demeanor, thy Father calleth for thee. Come forward. A few weeks ago here we studied about how the napkin was folded. Remember that? That electrifying energy somehow transferred from God to the angel to the voice, and it hit inside the tomb. Jesus says, I laid down my life so I can take it up again. What a story. Jesus' body began to shake. Took off the wrapping of his head and folded it neatly in place as if to leave this message, I will come again. And he walks out of the tomb. Somebody ought to put that in a booklet or a religious tract. Walking out of the Tracy read the scripture here in Matthew 28. These women came looking for Jesus. And the angel said to them, and I'm reading now in Matthew 28 in verse 5, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. But he is not here. Come and see the place where he used to be. I'm still learning about who I believe in. But I'm persuaded that Jesus was and is and shall forever be my Redeemer. And I believe that whatever I commit to him, he's able to keep. I believe that he wants to give us the same rest that he enjoyed. He's excited about being with us, about taking us to be where he is. Maybe the author of our closing hymn today had all of that in mind when he wrote the words, I know in whom I have believed. You saw it today as you first came into the foyer. You saw the stained glass, didn't you? Doesn't that make a big difference? It's beautiful. And the main focus there is Jesus with his arms outstretched, as if he wants to say, I am the one. Believe in me. Let's see if this works. One of the things that the Lord has promised to do for us is to answer every prayer. Might be yes, might be no. It might even be later at times. The Lord has also promised that if we will lay our burdens on him, he will make them lighter. And that's what he's good at. And today I'm going to be bold. I want to ask you as a family to help Mark lay his burden for his mother completely upon Jesus. Will you do that? Love in action right here. I wish I could take it away. I don't know how. But we can collectively today, corporately pray that you can hear some news from your mother really soon. And by faith, let's believe it. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, this day, it is true. We don't understand all about your saving grace, your protective power, and of your care. But as we have retold the story again of your death, the burial, the resurrection, it's told in the hope that decisions right here shall be made to be faithful to you, to trust in you, and that we might rejoice in the supernatural way that you intervene in our lives. Among other requests today for prayer was one so graciously given to us by Mark. His mother is missing. They do not know where she is. Have not heard any news. And today we have pledged ourselves together to ask you somehow to work out the details so that this day they can hear. And let it be good news. Keep us safe till we meet again. We humbly, boldly pray in the name of Jesus.